You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess Vegas can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways.
Good Friday morning to you. Michael Francis McNamara, as I was known at my Catholic school. Yeah. Heard that middle name, you know something bad was about to happen. Excuse me. Good Friday to you. The last Friday in January of 2018. That's right. Valentine's Day is coming up. Just a warning. In case you have somebody that you need to get something for, you might want to, like, devote a little time, save yourself a little bit of grief, okay? Ladies, it's not important for you to get anything. We all know that. Guys, woe be to you, man. Get your asses moving. I know it's not fair, but who said life was fair? Nobody said that, all right? Nobody said that. On this Friday, I was perusing the news, and the Associated Press reported late yesterday on a story that was started by the New York Times, that the president wanted to fire Robert Mueller. According to the New York Times. Now, this is the kind of bullshit that, and the president probably did want to fire him, for God's sake. And I think there were legitimate reasons to question Mueller's hiring, and especially when he began appointing people that had been contributors to Hillary Clinton's campaign, the appearance of being skewed from the start, would be not inappropriate, right? I think it's straight up. That's just, those are the people that he went and got. Anyway, maybe it's all a coincidence, okay? Maybe it's all a coincidence. But that's not my point. My point is this. Can you imagine if, I had the privilege to sit on one high-level staff and another kind of mid-level staff at the regiment, but in a place where, you know, the world was focused on in 2010, which was Afghanistan. So, in an area, Marja sang an area where there was news on a regular basis. Could you imagine if you had people leaking, you know, when you go into, say, a small group setting and you're arguing about how to deal with an issue? Can you imagine if you had people taking those conversations out and feeding them to the news? Shameful, but you know, you have heated arguments and people get pissed, and they say things when they're pissed, and it's almost like now, because of, how do I characterize it? Because of the lack of, it's not familiar terrain, it's not friendly terrain. When I go into a meeting, you know, I don't know who in here or whose aide in here hates my guts and wants to feed a story to the New York Times. You know, I don't know how this stuff gets going. And who would confirm it? How would that many people be in that kind of a small setting to confirm a conversation, you know, that the president said? What, is he going to do it in a large group setting? I want that shitbag Mueller fired, man. There's no way he could be impartial. This is bullshit from the get-go. And let me tell you, and Donald Trump, you know, what is he like when you shut the door in a meeting? And what does he like when he's pissed? Does he sit there and internalize it? You know, I can tell you what the Secretary of Defense is like when he's pissed. Yeah, the wall might come down, okay? And that lasts for a few minutes, and then he's over it. And then he's a different human being. Yeah, but if you had a tape recorder on and you wanted, it's to me extremely, but it is the drama that we live on a daily basis. So I saw that headline. I thought, you know what? These shitbags in the White House that run out of meetings where you're discussing things and people are, you know, people are mad. And it's, you know, all this. How big is the group that discusses stuff like this in the White House? Yeah, it's not that big. It's not that big. So I don't know. It just seems to me it's a code of the samurai violation. If you're that opposed to him and that, then quit. What are you going to be, Yuri? You're going to be a mole inside the administration, and you're gonna feed information. Come on, man. He deserves the same discretion that everybody else gets. And I would say this about anybody, as Barack Obama did. As anybody, you should be able to sit there with your staff and argue and get pissed without everything you say showing up on the front page of the New York Times. I don't know. It's just icky to me that we come to that. Now that stuff is all. Now this dates back to early last summer. May, I think, is what it said in the story, the little bit of it that I read. So it's a while ago. This stuff has all but stopped after General Kelly arrived. So anyway, that thought just rolled through my head. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. At the bottom of the hour, yesterday we had a conversation with Jeff Zulowitz from Navy Times. Yeah, when you're looking to read stuff about the Navy, look for his name. If you go to Navy Times and if you check it out, his name, he writes good stuff. Former writer for Stars and Stripes, been to Iraq, been to Afghanistan with us, so he's been around a bit. Anyway, so in our discussion yesterday with him, one of the things that came up was, as you might imagine, the 100-hour work week. And, you know, the Navy's now trying to take the same approach to sleep on a surface vessel that they do with submarines and they do with aircraft. Oh, crew rest! You know, not going to be able to run a ship like that, though, sports fans. Okay? Oh, sorry, we can't go get McNamara out of the rack. He's doing crew rest right now. Yeah, you tell him to get his sorry ass up here right now. We'll make it up later. So we all know that if you listen to this program, that if you're privileged enough to work 14 hours a day, you have it pretty good when you're deployed. So we're talking about the Navy at sea, the Marine Corps at war, deployed. There's nothing else to do, so you work. And you work 7 days a week. There's no day off. Yeah, whoa, what's up with that? yeah. What? 7 days a week? Yeah. That's what you do. There's no weekend. So anyway, so when you listen to this, you know, issues about the Navy, you know, the 100-hour work week, shove that to the side. That ain't an issue. Okay? Now, next issue is commanders don't want to say no, right? The commanding officers of ships don't want to say no when they're not ready, okay? And so that sounds like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense to me. But it should make sense to you. So at the bottom of the hour, Rob Schwarz is going to join us. He was the regimental XO for RCT-1, Regimental Combat Team 1, which is a First Marine Regiment with a bunch of other people. That's why we changed the name from First Marine Regiment to Regimental Combat Team, because when you go to war, you get a whole bunch of other people. It's not just your regiment. It's you and others. And so they denote that by saying regimental combat team. All right. Now that you understand the terminology. So he was the executive officer, means he's the number two guy. So he would be, so if I was the captain of a ship, right, let's just say that RCT 1, instead of having five battalions underneath us, we had five different destroyers underneath us. Okay? So each destroyer reports to the regimental commander to kind of mix Navy and Marine. That's how it works. So we're going to talk to Rob, and he's going to explain, does he not know at the regimental level where I am relative to logistics in terms of the work my ship needs done? Does he not know relative to training, you know, what I need done? And does he not know my deployment schedule? What things I got to get done by this date so I can go to sea? Does he not know that? And so when I'm assigned this mission, and I'm too afraid to say I can't do that, is it a total surprise to him? So what you're going to learn is that the higher headquarters is in the business of enabling its subordinate elements. And it does that not by going down and giving the Newt Rockne speech. It does that by the way you sustain it and the way you support it in training. That's how it does it and what it emphasizes. All right? And what it emphasizes. So you're going to hear him at 7:30. And then Le Chef is going to join us in about 46 minutes, and we'll talk to him about cooking. Somebody sent me an email during the week about marinades, so that's what I'm going to ask him about to start anyway. God only knows where it goes from there, but in terms of cooking, marinades. Matt, might the chef have any... Might the chef have any marinades that he uses? I'd love to marinate chicken. I'd love to marinate beef. And then he asked about shish kebab. How does the chef like to do that? So shish kebab, one of my mom's favorites. Yeah, Kathleen. And it was awesome. Whenever you saw her cutting up vegetables and you saw whatever beef she used, I don't even know. In cubes, you're like, yeah, we're eating good tonight. So we'll do that today, and then the gunner's going to join us. And I forgot to ask Mike about the promotion thing yesterday, so I need to ask him about that, if he's in favor of the non-upper-out promotion system, that you would be able to stay in the military if you couldn't, you know, normally if you get passed over, what, three times? You're then the time is clicking. You can only stay in this rank for X amount of time, and then you're processed out. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So we'll talk about that today. And whatever else Mike has on his mind. So, good morning to you. It is Friday. Whitney Houston. That's Colleen. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem for us this morning. Good morning. Thank you. And as we've done all week, this is dedicated to the Marines and sailors who fought at Quezon. Men among men. And if there were any women out there, women among women.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
A hallucination, a congressional initiated hallucination. Anyway, currently sunny and 34 in Quantico, mostly sunny and 45 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds at 54 in the great state of Texas, where our buddy Tex lives. Sunny at 31 in Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms, cold. Mostly sunny at 40 degrees. Camp Pendleton, cloudy at 39. Yeah, son number two been sleeping outside for the last week. He'll come home tonight. Clouds in 57 in Okinawa. That's pretty normal. Marja, partly cloudy, dark in 56. That's pretty warm at the home of Ballmer and Radio. Fair in 43. We don't like that. All right. Looking for a high of 66 today. Tomorrow, 77. And on Sunday, all the way up to 86 beautiful degrees. That's right. That is a look at your weather. Let me just cover a few news headlines before Montana Man shows up and does a little bit of explaining. Email. So, Mac, what's your point about all this Navy shit? My point is that what you're seeing is a lot of smoke if you've ever been in an operator. And Montana Man, you know, he taught, I want to say, at LFTC, what is that, Landing Force Training Command Pacific? He taught planning. Right? He taught in a naval environment, planning, go to sea, rapid planning, blah, 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 I think. We'll get him to explain it. Right? I spent 2 years on a U.S. naval warship. Okay? So, it's not like we're interested in the explanation for why this shit is happening. And I haven't heard a good one yet. Other than a climate that allows for consistently subpar performance because a culture that doesn't emphasize goal setting and goal achieving and an overemphasis on the social structure of the United States military. And I think the commentary that if you look at these ships, I bet every one of them had their sexual harassment and sexual assault shit all done. But they can't navigate. They can't go to sea and perform between the left and right lateral limit. And each one of these instances are different, but the results in every one of them are outside the bell curve. Right? We don't read about this shit very often. So that means when you look at the bell curve, they're on the very, very small fringes of it. All right, so early bird, top five stories today. Let me do that, and, no, I'm not going to do that. I might do that. Marine Corps Times headlines. Commandant says Marine Corps has too many airplanes. Top Marine says the Corps is stuck with too many aircraft it can't fix or maintain. Love that. Commandant says, war without the internet. Marines need to get ready to revive old-style communications. Another headline. Marine General, top Marine General tells Marines, get ready for a tough war in Korea. Neller, lighting it up. So, you have that going on. All themes in the Marine Corps, nothing new there. Let me just check real quick. We'll do the early bird. Once over the early bird. Top five stories. Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe, the number two Republican on the Senate Armed Service Committee, wants to make it clear he's still number two on the Senate Armed Service Committee and that Senator McCain is calling the shots away from Arizona while he deals with brain cancer. Okay. What is that? Mark Twain's quote? Reports of my demise are greatly exaggerated. John McCain, though. The only thing we heard was that the form of brain cancer that he fights is pretty aggressive, so... Thoughts and prayers to Senator McCain and his family as he goes through that. Pentagon's weapons tester slams F-35 modernization plan as unrealistic. I like that. Upper out rules getting new scrutiny in Congress. We'll talk about that later today. The largest non-nuclear bomb in America's arsenal just got upgraded. The Air Force has upgraded the United States' largest non-nuclear bomb, a 30,000-pound bunker buster, capable of attacking hard and buried targets, according to Bloomberg Politics, and they would know. So, congratulations to the Air Force, making that thing bigger. For whatever reason, the world loves that thing. The Moab, mother of all bombs, just got upgraded. German military too small to aid collective defense, officials say. The Germans kill me, man. I watched Private Ryan last night. God, that's a pretty grim movie. For the largest economy in Europe, Germany's military, the Bundeswehr, sure is small. In fact, although its smaller missions, like those in Afghanistan, remain possible, a larger conflict would likely catch the Bundeswehr off guard, says Hans-Peter Bartels, parliamentary commissioner for the armed forces, in an interview with a German magazine. Although the budget has increased slightly following criticism by U.S. President Donald Trump, the operational readiness of the German forces has further deteriorated in the past year. Quote, the hard currency, in which the success of the defense minister is measured is the readiness of the Bundeswehr. And that has not really improved in the last 4 years, but rather has become worse. While foreign missions with small contingents went well, the Bundeswehr as a whole cannot currently be used in a collective defense. Oh my God. Reports of the operational ineffectiveness of the Bundeswehr has made its rounds, according to the Washington Post. For instance, German military pilots are reportedly using privately owned helicopters to train because so many of their own are in need of repair. And as recently as November, half of the country's tank force was out of commission as well. You know what? Germany's a disgrace, honestly. So who's going to defend Germany? Oh, the United States will, if it ever came to that. It's just bullshit, man. Absolute bullshit. All right, now that I'm pissed, let me see if there's any other Marine headlines in here. The Commandant says Marine Corps has too many airplanes. We know that. You know, this is a story that's in Marine Corps Times. Top Gun commander was piloting F-18 Charlie when it crashed in 2016. No shit, man. They published that at the time. Anyway. And U.S. Naval Institute News has a story. General Neller, Marine Corps needs budget stability for efficient multi-year deals and recruiting. Yeah, do I need to play that little audio from Secretary Mattis? Okay, let me do that.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars.
Okay, what he didn't say there, he didn't say the word Congress, okay? And our incredible political machine that we have in this country.
If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you?
There you go. And guess what? They've been doing it. And we've been faking it. And these jackasses up on Capitol Hill keep playing their stupid-ass game. Now I'm getting pissed, man. Okay, so I need to change the subject. Montana Man's going to join us, right? And he's going to do some explaining about the Navy and about how change of commands work, how higher headquarters work, what they focus on, blah, 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 blah. So this whole idea that, well, they're afraid to say that they can't do their mission is a bunch of bullshit.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I screwed the bumper music up. I said I was going to play something else, and I completely forgot about it until I just went to play something. So, sorry, you're screwed on this deal. Joining us is Montana Man, and I think Montana Man is actually in Montana right now. So, Rob Schwartz joins us. He was just giving me the lecture on branding. And so let's share that with some of the folks. So when give us the ins and outs of branding. Branding's not like something that we just see in a cowboy movie. There's a I don't want to say a big deal, but it's a big deal, yes?
Yeah. Well, it's your mark of possession on an animal. I mean, you know, in today's market, you know, those things walking around on four legs are worth anything from, you know, $600-$700 for a calf to, you know, $2,200-$2,500 for a bred cow. So you want to let people know and have a mark on that thing that you own it. So to do that, you need to have a registered brand with the state. And that's what I'm struggling with right now is, since I'm in two states, basically, I've got registered brands in Idaho, but not in Montana, where my cattle currently reside. And I want to put my Idaho brand on my cows in Montana, and the brand inspector, who's a friend of mine here, and neighbor, told me last night that I cannot do that. So now I'm trying to wiggle my way and stay within legal guidelines on how to get my Idaho brand on my cows in Montana.
So what did he just – so you know this guy, and he just didn't say, okay, here's how you do that. He said, yeah, you can't do that? Is he a dick?
No, he's a good dude. And I didn't want to press, okay, the who's going to know button. And put
okay,
in
then that means he's a dick. If you can't press the who's going to know button, were you drinking?
Yeah.
Were you drinking when you were – you weren't drinking when you were talking to him because you had to press that button.
Yeah, exactly.
Who the fuck's gonna know? Hey, who are you talking to? I'm with the FBI. Like, what the fuck is going on? And then that's when you throw your drink at him. Shut up, asshole.
Yeah. No, I'm going to put him in that situation.
Oh,
you know?
My God. Come on, man. Come on. He's he's a cop. Like, those guys are squeaky clean. I think he's looking for the odds. So what's it going to take to make this happen there, big shooter?
Well, and that could be as well. Because he basically said if you to do it right, you'd have to take your cows back to Idaho, brand them there with a shipping permit to get them there, then get a brand inspection done by another buddy of mine, is also the brand inspector for Lemhi County, have him inspect your cattle, get another shipping permit, and bring them back over. So
you're drinking whiskey, and you're thinking, that sure as fuck ain't happening.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. I was like, I'm not doing that. I was telling Alicia, and she's like, well, that's a pain in the friggin' ass, isn't it? And I said, well, it ain't happening, so don't worry about that. So this morning, what I'm doing is going through the available brand list in Montana. So I can apply for a brand identical to mine in Montana, then I'll have the same brand registered in both states, and I can do whatever the hell I want back and forth for $200.
That's it?
Yeah, that's what I was doing this morning, is rooting through. And those are available brands that they have, you know, posted in their book. Now, you can come up with your own brand and submit it to them, which is what I did for my brands in Idaho. And then they'll look at it and go, is this distinguishable from every other brand registered in Montana? And say, yes, it is. Then you get your brand that you created yourself.
So there's no other better way than, you know, than carving this into somebody's ass. I said, but there's tags on the ears. Are those do those have an electronic chip so you can locate them? I mean, even like if I wanted to, if I love my dogs enough, I could put a chip in their ass, right? And then I could, and then if they ran away, I could find them, but I don't love them that much, so I don't do that. Best way?
Yeah, because they do have, I think, but it's too damn expensive. I mean, the margin for making money on cattle is, a cow-calf operation anyway, is pretty small. So anything kind of money you're putting into it that you can save is going to increase your margin. Putting a chip in a cow versus putting a brand on them is making your margin smaller. So
okay. Right.
Not often.
Well, if it's such a small margin, how have you become so rich? Because you're,
what?
Like, of all the guys I know, you're, like, one of the most tunned-up guys I know. You're, like, traveling the world, buying property, doing shit like that. So if the margin's so tight, how have you amassed your fortune?
It wasn't from cattle, that's for damn sure.
Damn.
We last year broke about even.
You
had
know
a discussion with the boss yesterday or the day before. Running cow numbers, and it was our going in year, so we spent a little bit of money on infrastructure, and you know, we did it right. So, you know, new bale bed truck, $30,000 on corrals, put the good ear tags in the cows so they look pretty when people come by.
So that's our profit. That's where our profit is right now.
That's where, yeah. So even with that, we're not in the red. We're just barely in the black.
All right, so next year we think that's going to contribute to the bottom line, make a little contribution?
Yeah, I think we're going to do it a little better this year. Right. And the folks that are buying our calves this coming year are basically market value plus 10 cents on the pound. So right there you're going to get a 6% bump or so on, based on current market value. So, you know, 6% of what we made last year, you know, that comes out to about another 10 grand and on the good side of things. But it all depends on weather, too.
Right.
You know, and the market. I mean, we lost 70 pounds on each calf we sold last year because we didn't get any rain after the third week of July. So those cows were not getting, those calves were not getting fat, you know, the last 2 months before they went to the scale. So, you know, 70 pounds at $1.65 a pound times 120 is what we lost due to that rain, which I think the number comes out to 18 grand or so. So it's all up to a lot of people but us in a cow-calf operation. And the nature.
All right. Email. Mac, I thought you were going to explain Navy shit. How do we get on cows? I don't know. Before we talk about Navy shit, what is the fascination with the American public and the mother of all bombs? It's now upgraded to 30,000 pounds of TNT. That's like a small nuclear device, just so everybody knows. That's what we're doing. We're developing. We don't want to call them nukes, but the TNT equivalent of a small nuclear device. So
yeah.
Why is the American public so fascinated by this thing?
Well, it's large amounts of explosives. I mean, every guy is interested in that, especially when you call it the mother of all anything.
Right.
That's always going to bring interest.
So it's just a bigger firecracker. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, that would explain it because.
You know how they deliver those things? They just roll them out of the pass end of a C-130 on a pallet.
Well, this says that only now with the upgrade, only the B-2 can deliver it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's gotten significantly larger.
the C-130 is not even in the realm of the possible anymore. It is now a B-2 exclusive device.
That's a big one.
That is a big one. They've been testing it over white sands, and you should see. So how big do the fins have to be on that some bitch to steer it?
Yeah.
It's a precision guided munition. You know what that means? That means we could fly it in the windshield of your car, all 30,000 pounds of TNT.
Probably not required to have that much precision with that much explosion.
We won't even find any of your DNA after that thing goes off in your face. So it's got a big nose cone, and it's got gigantic fins to steer all 30,000 pounds of TNT into. Now, let me ask you this. Some friends of ours got together last night in San Diego. Do you think it's bullshit that neither Luke nor I got, like, even a heads up? Hey, man, we're going to be down there. We know it's a hike for you guys. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Do you think that's a samurai violation?
It is. That's the first thing I thought when I saw the picture. I'm like, ooh. Where's the rest of the crew?
Yeah, didn't get invited. Didn't get invited.
Noted.
Yeah, noted. What is that? Momentum? Yeah. Moratorium. No momentum on this program, bro. All right, let's talk about one of the things. It's interesting in watching this discussion about the United States Navy and what they're going through. You know, we've already discussed the sleep thing, and in my opinion, it's not even worthy of discussion. That is a straight-up leadership issue. If they can't conquer that, then they need to park everything, send everybody back to school, and then come back. But this whole notion of a destroyer commander won't look and say, hey, I can't do this. Talk about being in this situation. I'll be the captain of the destroyer. You're the Desron commander or the staff, or you could be all of that. Talk to everybody about your responsibility as a higher headquarters. Talk to everybody about what you know about me and what I'm doing, and that I'm not down there with my hands around my destroyer, the USS McNamara. And you don't know anything about me. So can you explain that relationship, the role of the higher headquarters, and all of that?
I can specifically to the conventional marine side from experience, and then from observing the Navy and working at EWTG PAC, watching how those, the Desron and the carrier group come together in training. PAC trade group, PAC is what, who used to do their training. But as far as the responsibility of it, in this case, we're talking about Desron, it's that commander's responsibility, it's his job to know how those ships are trained and their capabilities and their logistical statuses, down to, you know, all the engineering departments of, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and what are they capable of doing. That's his job. How can he employ them if he doesn't know how fit they are? And if you switch back over to the Marine Corps side and the way we do it, you know, you go into a workup before a deployment, you know, your higher headquarters, no, I mean, they are in your knickers at every turn, whether it's your readiness at motor T, why do you have so many vehicles down, your, you know, where are you in your training, workup, as far as, you know, all these wickets that you've got to hit before you deploy, you know, what's green and what's red? And then if something's red, what's your plan to make it green? It's that individual's responsibility. And one of the bigger ones, I should say, because how do you employ an asset without knowing their capability? Is that going down the road you're looking for?
Yeah, and so how often, so as a regiment, how often do you have the battalion opsos and the battalion logistics officers, how often do you have that staff meeting where you would go over readiness numbers, where you would say, where you would have a staff meeting and take everybody's temperature? How often does that occur?
Weekly.
Okay, so on a weekly basis, these issues, and their responsibility is, if they, and I'll tell you what, it's even a little bit, it's more structured in the Navy, because when they're doing maintenance or shit to their ships, that's a big deal. It normally involves contractors, right? It's not old bosun mate muscleman coming on with his bag of, his green bag of tools and scraping some non-skid. That ain't what we're talking about. This stuff is teeth and scheduled. You know, a lot of times, years out, when they're going to do these things, and then they have stuff installed, and you got to go to sea and prove it and shit like that. So the Navy probably more structured than the Marine Corps is in terms of other assets involved and things like that. So, but on a weekly basis, you're looking at readiness. And my responsibility as a captain of a ship is, if anything is deviating left or right from my charted course to be able to deploy on this date, my job is to put my hand up and say, hey, sir, as the OPSO, this is getting to be a concern because these guys are saying that they want to roll this right, which will conflict with this. And so when I can't deal with my problems in order to deploy, my job is to kick it to my higher headquarters. Talk about that.
Yeah. In the way we used to do it is I would review those readiness reports before we even talked about it. I mean, it wasn't even anything we cut time out into a weekly meeting for, because everybody knew it. I mean, I knew every battalion's training readiness. I knew where they were on maintenance. I knew what was up, what was down, how long it was, and it was only really spoken of if there was an issue, and it usually came from the top down in form of a question. Hey, why is this, you know, set of vehicles still not up? And that is,
So let me ask you a question. So you review the data the day before the meeting, and you see something that's going to stick out like a sore thumb that we already thought was dealt with, because you know when somebody else sees that, the wire brush is coming out, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
And
because our job, your job, is to solve my problems if I can't solve my own. And when when both people whip on it, somebody's ass is going to get wire brushed to the tune of going to be bright pink crimson. Okay. And that's just the way it is. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
And that's the higher headquarters. So it's not. So you're knee deep in my shit.
All the time. And the workup schedules are so tight, both on the Navy and the Marine Corps side, that you've got to be able to forecast this may become a problem, not tomorrow, but, you know, 2 months from now when we're supposed to be doing something else. That's how important it is, and that's really what you're doing. And you can tell, you know, as a higher headquarters, you can tell your subordinate units all day long, hey, I'm just here to help. So this is why you're getting a spanking, because down the road, you're going to be the better unit for it. You know, most of the time, they don't believe you when you're saying you're helping them while you're climbing up their ass.
As my mom used to say that while she was beating my ass.
Yeah, exactly. And but that's the way it should be. So I can forecast out and go, okay, what do I need to do as a higher headquarters to readjust my capabilities and my ability to assist them, you know, get vehicles up, find a spot in the training schedule to fit these things, so we get these requirements knocked out, and they don't become a problem down the road.
Okay. And so this notion of you being assigned a mission or a task, and being afraid to tell me I can't do that, is, in my opinion, is foolishness, because there isn't anything you're doing that I'm doing that you as a higher headquarters don't know.
Right. Yeah, if you're doing your job,
right.
That's the caveat you've got to throw in there.
Right.
You know, when we look at a unit and go, okay, we need, you know, this mission task needs to happen. These are available assets. Okay, the readiness of those assets is commensurate with the ability to accomplish that mission. And we should know it ahead of time, but it's the subordinate commander's responsibility also to raise his hand and go, okay, boss, you're asking me to do this, but, you know, I've got this down. You know, we've just come off of doing this event. We need a little bit of time to regroup. You know, just to highlight to the higher headquarters, which should already know, you know, that they may have a diminished capability in either assets, personnel, or training. And then that higher headquarters commander, it's part of his job to assume that risk.
So as you as a higher headquarters commander, and I say my navigation is not qualified to be underway, I've got damage control issues relative to being qualified underway, and you look at me as the Desron commander and you say, hey, Mac, are you up to snuff on sexual assault and sexual harassment? And I say, yes, sir. And you're like, don't worry about the rest of it, man. You're good to go. Then that's what we just bought.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to believe that a ship would be allowed to deploy, you know, not being qualified in navigation.
And again, so the qualification thing is so bad that, you know, I was talking about this yesterday, and I've said it before. When two ships are going to collide, you don't realize it 6 seconds before it happens, okay?
No, you're not in a jet doing Mach 1.
Right. You're going to see it happening in slow motion, and it's going to, and over the course of 5 minutes or so, maybe more, you're going to begin to hyperventilate and piss your pants before you defecate on yourself. Okay? The fact that in neither case, and I'd be curious on the USS Lake Champlain if they sounded a collision alarm as well, because they could have had guys go in the water, you know, bumping into a 70-foot fishing vessel. So, to me, the fact that in neither case that happened is ridiculous. That's how on your ass we're talking about, that nobody says hit the collision alarm. If either, on either ship, somebody hits general quarters or collision alarms 60 seconds before you're going to hit, none of those guys are dead, in my opinion. They'd have grabbed their shit. They'd have been up those ladders. They'd have had a chance. And so this notion of this too tired, this notion of, oh, they don't want to say no, is, in my opinion, bullshit. So I wanted to have you on just to illustrate how bullshit it is that if those things are sticking out, and so what do you get to? If it's not, I won't say no. It is a readiness thing. It is a training. It is be brilliant in the basics. It is those kinds of, blocking and tackling things that the Navy, for whatever reason, sucks at now. And it's a sad state of affairs, but you can't fix it if you don't define the problem. And in my opinion, a lot of this stuff that's coming out of this is bullshit.
Yeah, and the part that interests me is, why is it all 7th Fleet?
Yeah.
You know, why is it just in that fleet? Because, you know, as ships and Vezrons are sourced out of San Diego to chop over to 7th Fleet, I mean, 7th Fleet's not the only fleet that gets sourced out of San Diego. So why is it only happening over there?
Everybody has, and the quick answer is, well, they're the most, they're forward deployed, they're always out there. So 7th Fleet, yeah, they're operating.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like saying CENTCOM should be the only one that has accidents. Any kind of training or, you know, mishaps
right.
in it, because they're the busiest.
Right. No, and it is, anyway, so as we go down the road of this discussion about what is the problem, again, I've said it before, but to me, those of us who've been around the Navy for a long time and have watched it, and what we see is a Navy that's been civilianized, and not enough people get a boot stuck up their ass. But again, the causes of the two collisions are very different. One is, the CO's not on the bridge, and you have unqualified guys up there driving the ship, and they're out to lunch. The other one is the commanding officer is on the bridge, and he's in the Moluccan Straits. He's advised by the XO and the OPSO that, the sea and anchor detail, which is more experienced navigation guys, more experienced helmsmen, more experienced bosun's mates, all on duty, is suggested to be posted at this time. He says, "Nah, we won't need them until we get right outside the harbor in Singapore." And he doesn't post them. And as a result, when there's confusion on the bridge in heavily trafficked sea lane, they inadvertently hang a left-hand turn right in front of another ship and get run into. And that's so different problems, same outcome. And it's really hard to understand how the second one happens on the heels of what should have been a draconian fist, you know, hitting the table in the 7th Fleet saying, none of this shit will happen again. We will do it by the numbers, yada, 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 yada. So,
yeah.
So painful to watch. All right, what else? It's moderately warm weather up in Montana. It's in the 30s right now, so that'll be a nice day. What do you got going today?
Well, I'm getting my stuff together for calving season, making sure I've got everything I need, and I've got some help lined out, and going to sort them, make sure everybody's on schedule, and kind of an admin day, just getting
I love
getting
admin
ready.
Days. Love admin days. Our, that means I'm screwing off. That's code for admin day. The,
I got a PT in there somewhere. I got to feed horses.
Are the interns back yet?
No. They came.
The summer guy?
Like the two of the guys came early in January. So they cut me some time to go down to Arizona for a week. And they'll be back this summer. We're going to get 5 of them this year, it looks like. So we're going to have a crew.
Big intern crew. That's
yes.
6-step and troop leading is going to be required. So I just want to let you know. What kind of
people? 2 of them that are back for their third year. So I kind of got fire team leaders in place now. Good ones, too. So
what kind of PT are you doing today?
Well, it's been so dang warm that my run route is just a sheet of ice, so it looks like it's going to be elliptical, pull-up bar, and then probably some abs, a little bit of upper body.
All right. There you have it. Where are you getting your workouts? What was that website you used to get them off of?
Oh, the CrossFit one?
Yeah.
No, we don't. They stepped in a different direction. Before, you could kind of just get the workout of the day and go with it.
Oh, are you kidding me? The door would open, he'd blow in. Oh, my God, have you seen the workout of the day? What? what are you talking about? How come there's no cream by the coffee? Everybody knows you steal it all, so they're hiding it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was back in the 15 to 18-hour workday.
That is so onerous, except nobody told the Marine Corps. We thought it was normal.
Yeah, I thought that
what
was supposed to happen.
What else am I going to do? Like, roll around and go see the sights with Musselman? Go do sightseeing with Gunner as he, like, pursues his various criminal enterprises?
Yeah.
Gunner stole the White Line, which is the State Department's internet. He stole that and rerouted it to different people. I would say who. He also stole the State Department vehicle. So all of a sudden it's like you had to check with the gunner to like get White Line. What?
He had a little black version of the White Line.
Dito Corleone.
And I'd go check that too because I'd be like, hey, why is the White Line so slow? Why is the love line? And usually it was the boss asking that question. Why is the white line so slow? All right, I'm going to go check the server. Go grab the comm chief. Hey, let's look at this white line deal. Where do these lines go? Oh, well, sir, the gunner came in and asked if he could have it. So, unplug that. And all of a sudden the gunner's in my office. Hey, sir,
hey, woo, woo, woo. And he commandeered the guy's vehicle, too.
I think that's after I was gone.
I need a vehicle. Use gunners. Gunner's got a vehicle? Well, kinda. He caught the State Department guy pissing in a bottle and dumping it outside the hooch, and now he has commandeered everything the dude owns and confined him to quarters.
Somehow Gunner had a Humvee at some point.
Yes.
Yeah, he had a slick one, you know, still with the soft side doors on it. I'm like, where did this come from? He's like, hey sir, just get in.
All right,
I'm not asking.
All right. All right, I appreciate the making us all smarter. Have a good day.
All right, man, we'll talk.
There you have it. That is live and direct from Montana. Montana man. Rob Schwartz here on a Friday morning. But again, the notion that, I'm going to put my hand up, I'm going to say no or whatever, is bullshit. They know what you're doing. They know how you're employed. They know all of it, so it's not like it's Greek to them, right? Which is another sign of rot in the command over there in 7th Fleet. So maybe it's a Desron thing. Maybe it's the squadrons that own those guys that didn't know what they're doing. But that's an excuse. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, who's going to join us? Oh, the Almond Radio head chef's going to stand by. We're going to talk a little bit about marinades. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.